Hi, I'm Rob Wright.
And I'm Jennifer Follett.
And we are here to discuss the latest goings on once again with HP. Jen.
It's the story that keeps on giving.
It is. It just won't go away. We have some news this week. It seems that HP, or at least certain factions within HP, are pushing for a spin-off of the Personal Systems Group and the PC business, rather than selling it to a competing vendor. And our colleague, Steve Burke,
esteemed colleague,
did an interview with Todd Bradley, the executive vice president of PSG at HP, and he said what was to be expected. I think he said we obviously would rather be a standalone spun off public company. Split off from HP rather than sold to a competitor, whether it be Samsung or Acer or whoever, which is, you know, completely reasonable and to be expected, like I said. Now, it's interesting. We actually have a statement from HP running on our website, an advertisement saying that the company hopes that they spin off PSG as a separate entity, as its own company, rather than selling it. Now, my question, Jen, is if HP is saying that and Todd Bradley is saying that, then why is it not going to be done? Does it feel like maybe there's some mixed signals going on here with this company?
I think it is going to be done. I think that, you know, when this news first came out, they probably either had been in conversation with some potential buyers or were sniffing around, and that all of that has since gone away. I think they can no longer command the price that they could have commanded before all this became public, and I think they've now backtracked on that whole idea and just decided clearly that their best chance of shareholder value is for a complete and separate spinoff.
I don't understand, though. I mean, obviously, for the channel, for partners, and probably for shareholder value, that spinning it off would be the move, but it just seems, I know we talked about this a couple of weeks ago in a previous podcast with Steve, was that it seemed like something maybe forced their hand in disclosing this ahead of time, that they hadn't worked out all the wrinkles of how they were going to approach this and what they wanted to do. And it could be 12 months before they figure out like what exactly is going to happen with this business unit. But to me, it seems like if they really, really felt like that was the best option, they would have done it without any kind of like public deliberation or jockeying or discussions. And it seems to me like if Todd Bradley is coming out and telling us, obviously we're a channel publication, but he's telling us, hey, we want to be our own company. We think it's the best thing for the channel and for PSG long term. Then you kind of wonder like are there other factions within HP that are saying, no, let's sell it. That's the better move. That's how we're going to get more, you know, the most bang for our buck.
I think there were. I do believe that there were.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think that that option has slowly disappeared, because if everyone knows you're in a position where you have to sell quickly, and they did commit to a time frame, I mean, a semi-long time frame, but they did commit to a time frame. I mean, you know as well as I do, if you're out in the market for a house and you know that someone has to sell, that yep. they're not in a position to command a premium price.
Sure.
And I think that while HP's PC business is very strong and clearly an enviable property, just the fact that people know that you're looking to sell means you can't get the same price anymore.
Yeah.
When it's public knowledge and everyone's beating down your door, the price of the stock is in flux, the customers aren't buying anything because they want to wait and see what happens. I mean, the pressure's on. What kind of premium price are you going to be able to get at that point? I don't
yeah.
think so.
Yeah, and it almost makes you wonder if the reason, you know, maybe it was, this is playing conspiracy theorists, but maybe it was somebody within HP that said, if we, you know, force their hand to make an announcement about this, then it will kind of put, I guess, a spinoff in a better position rather than, you know, a sale, because, like you said, it's public knowledge now that they're going to do something with it or planning on doing something with it. And if you know that, then... And it just doesn't seem like there are that many people out there that are interested in buying...
Could have bought it or would have
well,
bought it.
Yeah, that yeah, can even buy it. I mean, there's Acer. It probably has the cash and the market cap to do a merger. Samsung, maybe Sony, but Sony's never shown any real interest in being a PC company. So.
Samsung's come out repeatedly and said, nope, we're not
interested. Yeah, so if that's...
But maybe they were. Maybe they were, though. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, without any real information on what happened, my gut tells me that there was some preliminary discussion going on with somebody, and that some of our peers in the media got wind of it and started reporting on it, and then as we do know, the HP lawyers recommended to the company that they get out in front of it due to disclosure laws around, you know, stock and publicly traded companies and force the hand. So
it's just a strange situation. That,
absolutely.
And I can understand, like, why HP really has to put a lot of its people out there now and in the PSG group out on the road. I mean, Todd Bradley spoke to Steve at the Denali event.
Right. Yeah, he's
Washington.
In the midst of basically, I mean, as Steve put it, a campaign. He's in the midst of a whistle-stop campaign to go around the country and touch base with all of their top channel partners and customers and kind of try to put a lid on this thing and encourage everybody and assuage some of the concerns. I mean, he sat down with Steve for what I think was a 45-minute discussion, and after that he went and toured the Denali facility, and, you know, Steve actually is not here right now because he's still out there at this event, but, you know, Bradley's going to be there talking to other customers as well, I mean, Denali's customers, so, I mean, he really is out there, you know, doing the glad hand, kiss the baby kind of thing to try to make this a little better.
Yeah, yeah, and it's going to be hard work because obviously, as we've written about, Dell is just, you know, they're right on top of this, and to be expected, they are hoping to, you know, to capitalize on whatever type of uncertainty or apprehension or indecisiveness is being caused by this, and hoping this way both customers and partners from HP to you know, switch over to Dell. I'm you know, looking at this situation and looking at you know, the way that the PSG personnel have had to, you know, go out there, campaign, get out in front of it and communicate. Do you think there's anything that they can do other than what they're doing to, I guess, put those fears to rest, to convince people that, hey, you know, everything's going to be okay. We're, you know, PSG is going to continue. The HP PC business is going to continue. Is there...
I don't think so. There's little they can do. I mean, short of offering some sort of guarantee, which Bradley can't do. I mean, he very clearly said, you know, I can't guarantee you it's going to be spun off. I can't even guarantee you that if it's spun off, I'm going to be in charge of it.
Yeah.
I want to be.
Yeah.
You know, he's throwing that hat in the ring, clearly.
Yes.
And the channel partners definitely want him to be, you know, the ones that we've spoken to so far.
Yep.
Try to keep some level of consistency and familiarity.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, what else... You can say it's going to happen, and you can say that's what you want, but until it happens, what else can you offer as proof?
You're kind of stuck.
It's all just lip service.
Yeah, and I actually was kind of, I thought it was very interesting, you know, just reading the interview and reading the story that came out of that discussion with Bradley, how open he was about, A, he wanted the job, and B, hey, I'm encouraging the board, I'm pressuring them to do this move, but... I got to be honest, he's been there at HP now since 2006. He's been there longer than most of the board members. I think we discussed it on the last podcast. Most of the board members now, I think, you know, maybe 10 out of the 14 or 12, even 12 out of the 14 are, you know, have only been there since about 2009, 2010. Mm-hmm. It just seems to me like there's sort of a difference in philosophy between some of the people that have been at HP longer and the way the company is going under the new regime of some of the new board members and obviously their CEO. It seems like they are looking at becoming more of an enterprise company, more of, you know, a bigger software player, definitely. And there isn't even sort of this recognition of, hey, this is our biggest, you know, the PSG unit is their biggest business.
It was clear from the reaction of Bradley and some of the other PSG executives that they were not given much warning on this at all, and they were clearly not in the decision making process on this.
They were not in the know.
So, and we've heard scuttlebutt behind the scenes that he had, I think, like a 4-day heads up. You know, is that true? I don't know, but just you could tell from the reaction that, you know, it wasn't. He was not on board when this all came out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, obviously there's a disconnect there. I mean, it makes sense with Leo Apotheker coming in with his software background that that's the move he wants to make.
Sure.
And he's been very public about the fact that he wanted HP to become a software company.
Yeah.
I'm not sure anyone expected that that would mean bye-bye PCs, at least not this quickly.
No, and I think, you know, just kind of following up on that sort of, not indecisiveness, but sort of a lack of awareness and, you know, decisions being made and the company not knowing, you know, throughout upper management, everything that was going on or not having advanced warning or notice about this stuff. I mean, it goes back to what we talked about with the touchpad. I mean, they were still running commercials for touchpad. When we were at Exchange Americas in Denver, they were getting, you know, Frank Rausch was out there giving away touchpads to,
right.
to channel members. I mean, and prior to that, you know, the 2 weeks prior to that and up to that event, they were talking, really, really pushing the message of mobility is key for HP. These mobile devices, there's an important role for us to play in mobility. There's an important role for HP partners to play in mobility. And it's not just, you know, these aren't just smartphones that you're playing, you
yeah.
know, MP3s on. These are now business class devices that you can do real business on, you know, using enterprise class apps. And lo and behold, the following week they do away with touchpad, and now we're back to square one.
It's clear that there's an inner circle that the PSG group was not a part of.
Yeah.
And that's partly, I mean, back to your earlier question about, you know, what can Todd Bradley do to really, you know, ease these fears, and very little is the answer, because the man does not even have the, you know, he can't even come out and say, no matter, you know, what, you know, I'm leading this charge still.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's saying he wants to. Like I said earlier, the partners want him to, but that decision has not been made, obviously,
sure.
or he'd be out there saying that. So when you know that the board hasn't even really signed off on that yet, who knows what's going to happen going down the line if they've got other plans entirely for the management team of PSG, if it is spun off separately.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at this point, obviously, they're going to have to do something with it. I would be shocked if they kept it. It seems like the only thing that can really be done to kind of, I don't, like you said, there's nothing that Bradley really can do that he's not doing.
And his record obviously speaks for itself.
Sure.
I mean, I can understand absolutely why the channel is praying that he
yeah.
remains at the head of this thing, because his experience and his success there is unquestioned.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the only thing I think that could work in his favor is the channel partners. Not so much what he can do, but what the channel partners can do, and maybe,
yeah.
you know, voicing their support for him and their concern about, you know, maybe selling this. I mean, that would be the worst case scenario, obviously, is if HP sold this PSG business to a company that had more of a direct sales culture that was not channel centric.
Yeah.
It would just be devastating. And I have to imagine that at least some people in upper management HP recognize that if that were to happen and they were to sell it, it would certainly decrease the value of the overall business and probably whatever return they would hope to get on selling it. Whereas if they kept it independent as a standalone company, it would definitely work better in their favor, at least with their existing business approach. So
I have to believe that, you know, while I do think the main thrust behind his journey around the country to meet with partners and customers is to, you know, to help calm things down and push sales along, that there has to be an underlying hope there that this will also show his strength, his relationships with the channel partners,
yeah.
with the customers, and help highlight that, you know, he really is the man for the job.
Yeah, it's just, it's weird because, you know, we just had some data come out today. I think it was a Gartner Data Quest talking about PC sales. I mean, already, like, you know, different market research firms, different analyst firms have cut their forecasts for this year
mm-hmm.
after sort of the midway point with some economic uncertainty in Europe and obviously fears of a double dip recession. But, you know, a lot of the drive toward tablets, you know, they're saying now places like Gartner are saying it's eating into
mm-hmm.
the PC. This is obviously not going to help whatever sort of what, I mean, this, they may not make a move with PSG for another 6, maybe even 12 months, let's say. But that uncertainty for a $42 billion business, the majority of which is PC sales, is going to hurt the overall market. It's going to put a ding in it. If people are holding back on their sales or their purchases at the corporate level, saying, well, I'm not sure yet. I mean, the average consumer is still going to go into Best Buy not knowing anything about this and purchase a HPPC, regardless of, they probably won't even hear anything about this. They're not reading the Wall Street Journal or Financial Times or CRN for that matter. But the corporate customers are looking at this and probably saying, yeah, well, I may hold back on my PC purchase, you know, yet again for another 12 months because of this level of uncertainty. And that's definitely going to hurt.
I mean, I don't know that anybody's going to look at it and say, I'm not going to buy a PC because of it. I mean, they're absolutely going to hesitate to buy an HP PC. But I do believe what you're saying is true to some extent, that it puts a little tickle in the back of your mind. Like, if HP can't find value in a $40 billion business, then what is going on with this market?
Yes. That's my next point, is that, you know, looking at this now, it's almost as if there was like a self-fulfilling prophecy of, you know, you heard all this talk earlier this year about the post-PC era, and you heard people like Steve Jobs saying, you know, the PC is dead, and then one of the founders of the IBM PC at IBM came out and said, yes, the PC is definitely dead, which is, I think, is a little self-serving, because IBM sold its PC business, and they're not going to come back and say, hey, we made a mistake, you know, looking at Lenovo and how well they've done with their PC business. But on the other hand, like, you look at the situation now, there used to be so many different U.S.-based PC makers that were really successful. And now you go back 10 years and you look at, you know, when Compaq was bought by HP. I mean, Compaq was the number one PC maker at the time. It was bought by HP. And now with that PC business being potentially, you know, split off and done away with or acquired, I mean, that just sends a bad, it sends a bad message, I think, about the viability and the health of the PC industry at large.
And it makes you wonder if it's kind of the George Costanza moment, which is the, you know, the episode in Seinfeld where Costanza decides that once he's told a great joke and gotten a laugh around the table, it's time to leave and get out on a high note.
Yes.
I mean, maybe that's what HP is seeing here, that, you know, they don't think that the long-term business has viability, so get out while they still can command some sort of of price for it.
I mean, they definitely, you know, I wrote a story this week about, you know, VARs looking back at the 10-year anniversary of the HP Compaq merger. And one of the things that came back from talking with a lot of different guys, even back, you know, a few weeks ago at Exchange, was everybody said, you know, regardless of what they do with PSG today, buying Compaq was a smart move because it gave them market share, it gave them reach, it gave them, you know, the ability to become the biggest technology company in the world, and surpass IBM as sort of that revenue leader in IT, you know, surpass Dell as the PC leader, surpass other companies as you know, data center and server leader.
I thought one of the most interesting pieces that came out of your story, and again, you were writing that because it's the 10-year anniversary this week of the deal being announced.
Yeah.
It was closed.
Yeah.
But there was a partner in there, and you'll have to fill in the name. I forget which guy it was, but somebody said, you know, it kind of gave him an excuse or a reason to be or to stay, you know, vendor exclusive with HP, which was something this particular VAR would prefer to do anyway, but he was able to do that because of the additional breadth that brought. Not, I mean, clearly not on the PC side per se, but the other pieces of the Compaq deal that the other piece of the Compaq portfolio that deal brought in.
Two VARs actually said that SQL Data Systems, Don Ritchie, right. and then Jane Cage, also a COO of Heartland Technology Solutions. And they were both, you know, they both made very good points about the more vendors you deal with, the more headaches you get. If you can get most of your products or most of your important technology, important solutions from one vendor, and just cultivate that relationship and really make that your priority, it just makes it so much easier for solution providers.
It's been a controversial strategy, and vendors like clearly HP and Cisco are probably the two biggest culprits of that, if you want to call it a culprit, but, you know, companies that really encourage their vendor, their VAR partners to be exclusive.
Yeah.
But clearly there are many, many VARs that have made hay with it.
That want that sort of single point of contact, that single product source. But, you know, going back to the Compaq merger, it was 10 years ago that happened, and it's funny, I went back and I read some of our coverage at CRN, and there was actually a story about how some of the VARs and even some analysts were saying at the time that they thought that what HP should do is actually spin off the printing and imaging group into its own company. And they were fearful that, like, you know, the integration of Compaq was going to make things too complicated, and there would be no synergy, and there wouldn't be any sort of real natural fit for all these products. But when you think about it, they were really ahead of their time by making this move, whether you want to give the credit to Carly or whoever else was at the company at the time, Mike Capellas, you know, CEO of Compaq. They kind of had this approach of, you know, having that integrated stack, having that one sort of, you know, big IT shop, services, storage, servers, workstations, PCs, imaging and printing, you know, handhelds back then, and now, you know, mobile devices. But it seems like they fulfilled that idea of having the integrated stack and having that converged infrastructure and having that sort of one giant do-everything shop. And now we've come to a place in 2011 where that philosophy has totally changed, at least for HP. You know.
It seems they feel it's not a relevant strategy anymore. And, I mean, you mentioned the printing group. I mean, clearly that question is going to come up again after they're done dealing with the PC group. Why are you a software company with printers now?
Doesn't it have to be? It doesn't make any sense because there's obviously a natural fit between selling desktop PCs and printers, especially at the SMB level. I mean, that's what a lot of ours have said.
You go into Best Buy and you get a bundle with a PC and a
every
printer.
Time. Yeah. I mean, you go into a Mac store and they do the same thing.
Sure.
I mean, they'll sell you an HP. They'll sell you, you know, an HP printer with your you know, Mac desktop or whatever. But now looking at this, you have to wonder, like, if they spin off PSG, and they've already taken WebOS, I believe, out of, or they're planning on it, taking WebOS out of PSG. I mean, wouldn't it make sense if they did that with printing and imaging? I mean, it just doesn't hold a lot of water to have that business stay within HP, but then to have the PC business spun off. And obviously, Todd Bradley talked a lot about, hey, you know, if it's spun off, that'll enable us to sort of adapt more, take more routes to market. But, you know, Steven asked him, well, does that mean that you're going to partner with other server companies, storage companies, printer companies, like that you won't be tied to other piece, you know, HP hardware? And he just said, well, I'll just say that it's going to allow us to react quicker. But really, the implication is that they will do that.
Well, you'd have to.
Yeah.
You can't be a standalone independent company and then only tie yourself back to your former parent.
Right. So it stands to reason that that may affect, you know, and possibly negatively affect HP's imaging and printing business, which is their heritage. I mean, that's always been there.
Yeah. I mean, so it definitely, you know, raises the question of how long the PC business would be by itself, and then they would keep printing. I mean, how much longer would they keep printing in-house if they've already spun off the PCs?
Yeah, but I mean, it was so long ago, it was 6 years when they brought in Bradley, that they split printing and imaging from PCs and client devices.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's an interesting, but just looking at what's going on with this company right now, it is sort of reflective of the industry as a whole, you know, just with the state of the PC, sort of the declining, at least perception-wise, sort of the declining interest in it as a cutting-edge technology, and also with this integrated, you know, stack, this you know, from client device all the way up to data center approach, that's sort of being it looks like it's being abandoned now by HP, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens going forward. And like we've talked about, we could be doing a podcast a week about this, you know, for the next 12 months talking about
I think what came across, at least for me, reading Steve's interview with Todd, is that the man is absolutely passionate about this business, about its prospects, and about the opportunity that's out there for them as a group, whether they're part of HP or not.
Yeah.
And clearly the intention is to bring the channel along with them to go chase that opportunity, or at least that's his intention.
Yeah.
You know, so there's something very exciting there that has this guy come to work in the morning.
Yeah.
And clearly there are a lot of channel partners that feel the same way.
Yeah. And you know, for their sake, I hope that whatever the decision is about PSG, that it that they take that into account. I mean, that's, I guess, the best that you can hope for at this point. But I'm sure we'll have more to discuss as this moves along.
No doubt.
Yeah. Well, Jen, I appreciate the time. Thanks for chatting with us.
Anytime.